Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Jace Lejeune is here today as our co-host, co-pilot. If the engine fails, he can take the lead.
Here we go.
I guess I'm the engine. One engine. He's the other engine.
I'm just along for the ride, Lee.
Hey, man, you know, we got high school football. We got college football. I'll mention briefly LSU basketball, MLB. I don't think you kept up with it as much on this
not
one.
Not as much. I know that the Red Sox beat the Yankees. That's the only thing I really know.
I'll mention the Dodgers beating a good St. Louis Cardinals team. But most of the show today will be about high school football, LSU prediction, Kentucky. And we'll stay there focused. And our big part of the show, our interview today, is I think a Hall of Fame coach one day, Sid Edwards at Central High School.
Mm-hmm.
He's been at Central for close to 20 years now.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yep, known for his Redemptorist days when they were really rolling.
Won state championships. Also was a basketball coach at Redemptorist. Was a freshman, I think, coach at Catholic High.
Yep, he was.
The late Kevin Franklin and Warwick Dunn and Shanklin and a lot of those great ones that came out during that era.
Those are some good freshman teams.
Jesse Daigle,
mm-hmm.
Leo Abel, you know, that was a great group. Scott Ray.
Yep.
In the beginning, as I call it, at Catholic High.
In the early years.
But that's going to be a 30-minute interview that I think people will enjoy. If you like the Leo McClure interview the other day, you'll actually like this a lot because, like the Leo McClure interview, Jace, we got down to just talking about life in the old days, and I think that's what people want to hear on a podcast.
Yeah.
And Sid really shared a lot of good old stories of his Redemptorist days.
Yep.
And leading back to Central a second time now.
Yeah, but he's got some really good stories to tell. Like Coach McClure, he's been around the game a long time. Yeah. I didn't even realize he was a head basketball coach at one time at Southeastern. I didn't realize about Coach McClure.
And I want to thank Ashley Rush,
mm-hmm.
who they know as Ashley Lewis, the former superstar softball player at Central High School,
yep.
and then played college softball.
Right.
And she's the athletic director at Central High School. I want to thank her for helping me set up these interviews that we did. It was good going back to my old high school and walking the halls.
That's your alma mater, Lee.
Jace, it feels, like I gotta mention, it feels like, you know, it brought back memories. You know, you walk through your old hallway and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
I went to school
Brings you back.
I hadn't been inside the school. Now I've been in the stadiums. You know, I've been to the coach's office.
The games,
but actually going to school, it's been 25, 30 years.
Hmm.
And it was good to see the assistant principal, who was one of my coaches back in the day.
He's
the last of Mohican Indians, I guess. And I got to see a bunch of people that are still there, or they were in school with me, and they're now working at Central High School. Or their kids are at the school. That makes me feel really old.
Wow.
So that'll be our show. The most of the show will be Sid Edwards, Central High School. And I want to go ahead and go into it, segment one. Introduce our sponsors first, John Harvey Toyota. Truly support them in Bossier City, Shreveport. They love high school football. They love college football. Without them, Tommy Harvey and his company, I would not have a podcast right now. He came in and took a chance on me out of Shreveport, Bossier City. I've known him since we started our TV show a few years ago. Quality people. And make sure you check them out if you need a new or used car. Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, Louisiana. And they'll let you come in from Natchitoches or, heck, Baton Rouge if you want to buy a vehicle, or Ruston or any of those areas that are close. Mendon, Houghton, North DeSoto area, the Stonewall area that you can still drive all the way into John Harvey Toyota in Bossier or Shreveport. And also, I want to thank Medin's Collision Center, Jace. I know they've been busy with all the rain, with body shop work, and also paint jobs. Chris Medin, his wife Dominica, been in business since the 60s. They're located in Baton Rouge on Kincaid Avenue. 357-7983 is the number to call. 357-7983. And also Treads and Care Tire Company. Speaking of Central, Treads and Care Tire Company, if you're a Central resident,
you
got to check them out. If you need tires, You need all changes, brakes, alignments, air conditioning. You need pickup and delivery. Owned by Devin Holly. I've known Devin for over 30 years. They've been in business since 1971. And if you hear the show today and you're a Central grad and you wanted to hear the Sid Edwards interview or just a listener in general, go to Treads and Care Tire Company on Hooper Road and Park Place Drive, a really nice, beautiful facility, brand new. Be sure to call them at 331-8144, 331-8144. And our new sponsor, and we'll have some spots running pretty soon, is Gros Savon.
Yeah, changing things up a little bit with this sponsor.
Fishing and hunting.
Yeah, fishing and hunting.
In the Lake Charles area, Claude Leach is a great person. He's got, man, if you want to have the time of your life, Gros Savon's a place to go fishing or hunting. And we'll have more information. We'll start running some of their spots pretty soon. But let's go ahead and talk about LSU Kentucky, Jace. And we're not going to spend a bunch of moments on this. I think the fan base is kind of at the point where let's get this over with this week.
Yes.
Let's get the game over and hope they win. And it's one of those games where you don't know if the team will be pumped up. You don't know if Kentucky's going to be big-headed all of a sudden because now they beat Florida.
Yeah.
It's a weird game to try and judge, but I do know one thing. It'll be close.
Yeah, it'll be close.
Either team can win.
Yep, and it's conflicting of styles. We talk about LSU not really being able to run the football when Kentucky, they're trying to figure out the passing game right now. And, yeah, the Kentucky's going off a high. They're trying to accomplish something they haven't done since Paul Bear Bryant was the coach at Kentucky. And this is something that Kentucky, the fan base is used to basketball.
Right.
And there's something that they're trying to get used to and do something for the first time. While LSU, on the other hand, things are on the way down, but – I think just this week you've been hearing, the team has been hearing all week about all the noise and just, you know, when you're coming off a loss that whole week, just everything, like, this is just pretty much wrong and set you back. So with that being said, I think LSU is going to be motivated, and I think that the sold-out crowd, even though it's 60,000 people for Kentucky. I think LSU will be motivated enough, and they really need this win considering what's coming up. If they want to have a chance at a bowl game.
I have a lot more humor than I share in my shows, and I think as we go on, I'll be more of myself with humor here. But don't pick a fight with a Kentucky fan about horse racing and bourbon. That's not the place to go.
Horse racing, bourbon, or basketball. Yeah. That's like the main three things.
Yeah. Don't knock the horse racing there if you're a fan. If you don't want to get in a fight, you know, because they are serious. I was there for about 2 weeks. About 10 years ago, I went to Louisville, Kentucky, Jace.
Okay.
They say Louisville.
Yep.
Louisville. Yep. And the coaches' convention was there, the college coaches'
convention. That's right. Yeah, it was there.
But I stayed in Hopkinsville, which is like between Lexington and Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's God's country because when they say bluegrass, I finally saw what bluegrass looked like.
Mm.
It was the most incredible landscape. I never thought you'd look at grass and go,
wow.
Oh, look at the grass. But the normal lot was like 4 acres in the front yard for every home. And I stayed at a house. Frank Davis, a friend of mine in Baton Rouge, who's a retired college coach, his sister lived there, and they had a basement in their 7,000-square-foot home. And when we woke up to drive back to Louisville every morning, there was about 80. I'm not kidding. There was 80 to 100 deer out in the front yard.
How about that?
God's country, and
and
I got to eat at the original KFC.
Yeah, about to say Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm sure you had to eat over
the
there.
The Colonel, you know the Colonel of the commercials?
Yep, Colonel Sanders.
His original restaurant is in Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
Wow.
And we ate there every day.
Just looked like a regular KFC?
it was like a big old something you'd see, you know, back in the 18.
Okay.
It was, you know, chandeliers with KFC, man. I was just so happy to be there.
Yeah, the original KFC.
Because I'm a big fan, you know, growing up.
Oh, that's something you have to do when you're in Kentucky. That's one of the things you have to
work off. And all the horse experts
Kentucky
were there.
Derby, yep.
The trainers and everybody owned a horse. And they're like, do you own a horse? And I'm like, no. Well, there's
nothing
to talk
about.
That'll
be a good place Devin Way would like to go to.
Oh, my goodness.
That. Yep.
But so, anyway, my prediction is LSU loses 24-21.
Okay. I tell you what, I think LSU bounces back, and with this game, there's going to be a couple games that LSU will win based off their talent, and that will give them just enough. I'm not saying they're going to win, they're not going to win the rest of the way. We just know that. But they'll be good enough to sneak and win and beat a team that they're not supposed to beat. And Kentucky's riding off that high. They wanted to beat Florida. That was the team they really struggled with, and they did. But now, looking ahead to Georgia, is Kentucky too. So they got that next week, knowing that could be for the East.
Yeah.
I think LSU comes in, they bounce back with the whole week, as bad as a week it was. I think these kids will be motivated to play, and they're going to sneak in and get a win 20-17 is what I say.
I base it on three big plays for three touchdowns and a field goal, like from York,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of stalled drives and LSU wearing out because they don't play a rotation of guys like they, I don't know, for whatever reason they don't. But anyway, the running back from Kentucky is the secret weapon, Rodriguez.
Yeah, they got two good ones. They got Rodriguez and Smoke. They're both really good.
But Rodriguez is the wear-you-down back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And LSU is not a good run defense. You can ask LSU about the Auburn quarterback.
Yeah.
And this is the best running game team that LSU's faced.
Mm-hmm.
Better than Auburn.
Yep.
Kentucky's O-line's better than Auburn's. They're better than Auburn. Let's face it, these are two teams. One's trying to go 9-3 in Kentucky, mm-hmm. which the fans would love 9-3. LSU's trying to go 8-4.
Yeah.
Let's just face it. They're trying to go 8-4 with a loss to Alabama.
And they need to get this win, and they want to accomplish that.
And it's a miracle, right? They're looking for the miracle of 8-4. Kentucky's trying to go 9-3. Let's just be realistic. 9-3 Kentucky.
Yeah.
They're both even, Steven. So
could be even 10-2 if they lose to LSU and lose to Georgia. They can probably win the rest of the way out.
And Kentucky's offense is not very good, but they can run the ball. And I just think late in the game, LSU's still not a dominant defense. And the run game with Rodriguez and Smoke is too much. And I don't think LSU can stop Kentucky. I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, be honest.
Right.
But Kentucky's offense is so bad, they're still going to get those touchdowns on runs and wearing LSU out.
Because
LSU's defense is, again, not a great defense still. And their safety, Major Burns, is out.
Yeah, he is
and
out.
And Stingley.
Yep.
And the young quarterback for Kentucky with a cannon.
Yeah, he can throw it.
I think they'll get a big play on LSU.
Yeah, they have one really good receiver that Kentucky does have.
That's a 4-2-4.
Yeah, he's really fast. He's a really good receiver. But just looking at it, I think LSU's defense has improved, and it wasn't really the run game with the running backs that killed LSU last week. It was Bo Nix making plays on his own, and you know, just one of those things you throw your hands up and just say, well, there's nothing we can do against that.
I think Kentucky is dialed in, and I think
you gotta make Will Levis beat you.
I'm giving them the three because it's in Lexington, and this is not a bad Kentucky team, and if it was a bad Kentucky team, I'd put LSU maybe about 7 or 10.
This is probably one of the best Kentucky teams they've had in a while.
And I'm really pulling for Kentucky to go to Atlanta over Florida and Tennessee and Georgia.
Right.
Because let's face it, if they beat Georgia and they don't lose another game in the SEC on that side, they go to Atlanta.
And considering where they're between, they're coming off a huge win, like I said, against Florida, and they got Georgia coming up. So considering the games they're in, this is more of a letdown game for Kentucky than the other two.
I just don't see LSU winning. Devery Henderson's out of eligibility.
Marcus Randall can't.
Marcus Randall's at Woodlawn High School. Okay, I mean, wouldn't it be crazy if the miracle pass happened again in this game? Because it's going to be that kind of game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's going to be like, who has the ball last? And who can score with the last 50 seconds on the clock? It's going to be, if you were a nervous fan, you better like.
Well, if LSU can get to, that's why I said, if LSU can get to 17-17 and LSU has the ball left, you know who's going to end up kicking that field goal when that's
Devery, you think Devery will dress out? And
I wish. A post? I wish, yeah, definitely. I wish that would happen.
Maybe they can bring him on the sideline, give him a free ticket to the game, just have him there as good luck.
Yep, right.
Come on, Devery, get on the bus. Come on, come with us, Devery.
Marcus, bring Marcus too.
Make yep. Marcus and let Marcus have someone else coach the team here. Let me go. But
yep. But remember the last time they lost to Kentucky was the national championship year when there was three overtime. Right. So that's the last time they went to Kentucky.
Well, actually. That was also the three overtime loss to Arkansas.
Yeah.
With McFadden and those great running backs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you can gotta say LSU was undefeated in regulation, first overtimes and second overtimes, right. But 0-2 and 3 overtimes.
LSU's not a good overtime team. A&M game was triple overtime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, 7 overtimes.
That changed the rule of overtimes.
Yep, right.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have our final segment. Then we're going to go into the Sid Edwards interview with Central High School football coach. Really enjoyed visiting with Sid from Central High School. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you.
Welcome back to the Sports Gallery Report podcast with Lee Burkine. We're going to start part one of Lee's interview as he goes back to his alma mater, Central High School. He interviews Central High School head football coach Sid Edwards. Sid Edwards is a familiar name around the state of Louisiana, especially in high school athletics. Head coach for a long time at Central. Was also a head coach at Redemptorist as well. Won a couple state titles back in his Redemptorist days. And really got his start at Catholic High as a freshman coach and really helped just start and booster the Catholic High School football program when he was a freshman coach and coached the likes of Ward Dunn and Kevin Franklin when they were freshmen and really helped the Catholic High program get started and be a dominant program where they are today. But he's going to talk about all his trips, and he's coached a couple of different sports as well, and he's got an opportunity to tell some stories with Lee about his coaching years and his experience. And yeah, one of the coaching legends and the Baton Rouge area. So take a listen to it. Enjoy. This is part one. We'll have part two coming up. But yeah, this is Lee Burkine's interview with Coach Sid Edwards.
I'm here at Central High School. Really glad I was able to run into Coach Sid Edwards, the head football coach. Coach, you said something I really have to wrap my head around. 16 years?
It's incredible.
Has it been 16 years already?
It is.
At Central High School.
It is. It's incredible.
I really did not realize it's been that long.
It has, of which in the middle of that 16, 2 years I was the AD only. So this is my 14th year coaching, 16th year overall. And it's hard to believe, you know, when you go back in my Redemptorist days, it felt like I was there forever, but I was there 7 years, you know, compared to 16 here.
Jesuit. A little bit at Menard and
yeah.
Back at Central.
That's it. Those have been my stops. Of course, I cut my teeth as a young coach at Catholic High. I spent 10 years as their ninth grade coach. So you got 10 there, 7 at Redempt, 16 here, and then you had the stint at Jesuit and a stint at Holy Savior.
I want to mention this before we start talking about your team and in your years at Redemptorist and all your coaching career, but we lost a couple of really great people. You lost a staff member and Kevin Franklin, who was a friend of mine, who you coached
right.
at Catholic High.
Today's his birthday, actually.
Oh, man. I didn't know that. Kevin was one of the nicest people I'd ever met in my life.
Yes.
We talked probably once a week recruiting.
Yes.
And then you coached him at Catholic way too young.
Way too young. I've coached thousands of kids. And, of course, I've loved every one of them. But if you put a gun to me and said, Sid, who was the one, that's the guy. And it had nothing to do with his talent. It was just his beautiful spirit and the man he was. And tough, really tough deal.
And then my condolences, we talked about it earlier, but you lost a staff member. I know that's probably even brought your staff closer, losing one of your coaches.
Yeah, Coach Brandon O'Neill, 41 years young.
Too young.
To COVID. He had been with me, you know, Brandon, it was going on 10 years he had been here. And hired him as a really young coach. And Yeah, it in an already bizarre year, that on top of it.
Yeah. This recently, y'all had a real big win, Coach, over Northwood.
We did.
I've seen Northwood play. They're pretty talented.
They are. I really like their quarterback.
Very good looking kid.
Yeah.
Junior quarterback.
Very good. Mason Welch. And they were good defensively up front, really solid. And really, Lee, with our team, you know, we opened up with U-High, which wasn't a regular scheduled game.
Y'all were coming off of not practicing for a while, too.
Yeah, we were. But, you know, credit them. They're so sharp, you know. But even with that, we beat Bel Air and Terror, which honestly we're supposed to at this point. Those are young coaches, young programs, and they're doing a beautiful job. But the jury's still out on us. It still is. But, you know, as a coach, I know how much we got better in the month. And we played it, likewise, a well-coached, talented Northwood Shreveport team. And got behind the chains, got behind on the scoreboard, and the boys kept battling back. So it was a big win for our program.
I saw them play week two, Coach, and they've got 5 or 6 kids, as you know.
Right.
They're going to be college players.
Yes.
I mean, that was a big win. That's a good team that you beat.
Yeah, it's a satisfying win.
Yeah.
You know, here again, we're supposed to beat Tara.
Right.
But it was a satisfying win in that, you know, we kind of viewed ourselves as an underdog and went in there and grew up a little bit. Now, I know enough to know that we certainly haven't arrived, but we took some steps forward.
Well, there's some kids on the team. I want to mention all of them first, and regardless if they're recruits or not, just your seniors. Right. Lucas Hill, Calvin Collier, Ethan Ferguson, Jonathan Swift, your quarterback, Sam Eames, late bloomer, receiver, Michael Brown, D-tackle, Adrian Bonds, who came in from Southern Lab, a new kid for you, Tyler Hill, good-looking athlete for you, and Caleb Ward, who's been playing, it seems like, for 10 years.
Right.
As a DB. But what do you think of this group, Coach? It's a small senior group. You lost a lot of seniors last year.
Right.
But that's a good thing. Like I said, as time goes on, these young guys are getting better every week.
Right. Our roster's made up 65, almost 70% sophomores. And but those senior class is a good group. You're right about Caleb Ward. Seems like he's been here 10 years because, you know, he started the first game of his sophomore year as a little bitty old corner out there and held his own. But it's a good group of seniors, and it's kind of been attrition with that senior group. I think they probably – it was a small freshman group when they were freshmen, maybe 33 kids for a 5A school, and we've lost about half of them for one reason or another, whether it be another sport or whatever. But this group stuck together, and they're a pretty close group. And as you – the names you mentioned, many of them play key roles. Even though we're an inexperienced team, those guys play key roles on both sides of the ball.
One kid that I really love for your team, I know he's playing for the team, help the team, not necessarily where he's going to project in college, is Jonathan Swift, who's your quarterback, who could be a linebacker or a running back at the next level. He reminds me a lot of a Patrick Queen at Livonia.
Good analogy.
You know, very similar body types.
Right.
Patrick was a running back at Livonia.
Right.
Aranda got a hold to him, made him a linebacker. Now he's with the Ravens. I'm not saying that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But Swift's a really good athlete, really good size frame kid that plays quarterback for you.
Yes, he is. And I've got some concern with Jonathan just on that is that I 100% believe he's a college football player.
Yeah.
My worry is – being under center, you know, like if you take the Sam Kinnerson, who played
great player.
Quarterback for us, you know, him and John were on the same team. Sam could have went probably just about anywhere as a DB, wide out, slot receiver, and elected to go to Georgia Southern as a quarterback. He's now playing some receiver at Georgia Southern now.
They just let their coach go.
They just got let go this week. And Jonathan, okay, is either a running back or a linebacker. You are correct, okay, by nature. That doesn't mean in the right system he couldn't play quarterback, but he's truly just an athlete and can play either spot. And the colleges are going to have very little film on him playing either. As a matter of fact, Jonathan hasn't played a snap on defense in 4 years here. But if you put him at backer and you watch him run downhill, I mean, you know.
He's a fit.
Yes, he could play there.
I'll throw another one from way back. Coach, yeah. You're going to know this, but another similar player, we're going way back in the vault. You're going to know Baker High School, Gerald Soule.
Oh, do I remember Jared Soule?
Remember went to Tulane? Yes. Never played linebacker, never played running back, was the quarterback.
That is another great analogy.
You know what I mean? He was a big kid, very athletic.
Jared, I was at Catholic High at the time, and we played him in Memorial Stadium and probably the biggest crowd in Memorial Stadium in the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. And they beat us that year. And matter of fact, Kevin Franklin and Warwick Dunn were sophomores on that team, and that was a war. But the best player on the football field that night was Jared Soule. And then to watch his career through Tulane at fullback and then into the NFL. And Jonathan is really more like him than anyone else. And that's the thing, you know, will a college have that eye to be able to see and say, because we need him at quarterback.
Right.
We have three young quarterbacks, and the quarterback room is the best it's been in 10 years.
It's young. Young guys.
They're young. And Jonathan, we still believe, gives us our best chance for success.
Another kid that caught my eye this year, and he's really coming on as a late bloomer, because you had some good receivers last year, is Calvin Collier.
Yes.
He looks like a guy that could get to a point where he could end up being a really good college prospect in the end.
I have no doubt about it. He's very good. You know, if you look at last year's team and even the team before that, you wouldn't consider us to be a passing team.
Yeah.
You know, we have made our living the last few years on rushing the football, playing solid defense, and being good on special teams. And this year's not a whole lot different. But Calvin is a very talented receiver, great hands. You're gonna, like, if you did a drop chart on him, there's not many. And he's faster than people think. And
number 84.
84, yes. And he is really, really good. And I believe that so much is based on numbers, but I think film helps him. Like, if you watch his route running, and then if people would know his work ethic.
Very smooth runner, too.
Very smooth.
6'2", coach.
6'2", yep.
180, 175.
You're right on it. Calvin's special.
Tyler Hill's got a lot of ability maybe to go to a small college. Mm-hmm. Speedster, very under the radar. Been playing for you for a long time as well.
He has. Because of the deficit in our secondary, we moved him from offense to defense as a corner. He was a little concerned about that. He wasn't sure, but he's really playing well. He's a little guy.
Yeah.
He had three interceptions in one game.
He can run.
And now if he gets his hands on it,
it's over.
He's shifty.
And obviously Caleb Ward has got a college future. He can go somewhere in the end. And then your new guy, Adrian Bonds, has an ability to play college ball.
He does. Adrian at Southern Lab played more as a true defensive end. And we got him inside at linebacker. And he's probably one of our most physical kids. The helmets fly off.
Yeah.
You know, he will bring it. And early in the year, heck, we're almost at the midway point, but he's doing some really special things.
I want to brag on your DB from last year that signed with TCU.
Yes.
I talked to a couple of the coaches at TCU. He's really tearing it up at TCU.
Boy, I'm glad to hear that. I haven't talked to him in a little bit.
Your safety from 2020.
Yeah, Davion Armstead.
True freshman.
Yes, and very proud of him. I know, you know, I call to make sure that, you know, he's in the books too, and he's doing a good job there. And I'm glad. I haven't gotten a football report on him in several weeks. So that's good to know that he's got their eye and he's doing well.
This school, when I went here in 89, Coach, I knew Steve Ensminger was a big thing, played at LSU.
Yeah.
Mike Burks, Sean Burks.
Right.
A lot of great baseball players. I mean, this school has a lot of history.
It does. What a lot of people don't know, that they have a great history, but what we haven't done was kept up with it. I just found out Robert Graves, who I call a local historian in Livingston Parish, he called me yesterday and said, Sid, are you aware that this is the 75th anniversary of Central football? The first year was 1947. And I was not. I did not realize it. And but 75 years of football, and there is a good tradition. And I wish I knew for sure, but I think the 66 team won the state championship, the only state championship. And I think in 65, they were state runner-up. They actually, the 66 team, they flew them to Shreveport to play in the state championship game. Yeah. And but there's been some great players come through here. And, you know, like any public school, there were lean years, I'm sure. But, yeah, it's a rich, rich tradition.
We lost another great coach, speaking of Central, this year, Coach Jackson.
Right.
His son, Hud Jackson, is a college head coach now. And he meant so much to this program. And that he was the coach for Steve Ensminger. And I remember Johnny Nagel was here. And a lot of great coaches on that staff that ended up being college coaches back in the day.
That was a very talented group of men. And the deal about Coach Sonny Jackson is I've never met a player that, when his name was mentioned, didn't just light up and glow.
Yeah.
They enjoyed his company. They enjoyed playing football for him, but they enjoyed the man. And Sonny may have stayed here a long, long, long time if it wasn't for how good he was and moved to the, you know, to the college level.
Yeah. Coached many years, Nicholls State, McNeese. Right. That was five coaches on that staff that ended up going college football.
Right.
And that's remarkable. Just about everybody that coached for him, coach college ball, that was here.
Yeah. You don't see that much much often. I think Johnny Prejean may have been with him
here
a while. And like you mentioned, Coach Nagel. They had good teams and they were good coaches.
Sid, what do you think of high school football in Baton Rouge now compared to 20 years ago?
I'm not trying to be the guy that the old days.
Right, old time. Yeah.
We have pockets of excellence, but football overall is not as good in Baton Rouge, in my opinion, as it was 20 years ago. And let me explain. Just in the year 2004, I was at Redemptorist. And we had to play a second-round playoff game at Memorial Stadium. And we went in there and got in a war with a team. And we won it in the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game. And we went on to win the state title that year. That team was the Bel Air Bengals.
Yeah, Moore, D. Moore, huh?
Yeah, well, Moore had just graduated.
They had Marcus Spears, the other Marcus Spears, I think.
Yes, yes. And that was 2004. And what's happened, if you look at our East Baton Rouge Parish teams in the greater area, Tara at times. Now, Liberty's making a comeback, a beautiful comeback, but Lehigh was in the conversation. Tara actually won the state championship 74, but you looked at in the greater Baton Rouge area, the Rusty Price Broadmoor teams that battled John
Nolan Gill, Glen Oaks.
Glen Oaks. And to me, football was better because of that.
Yeah.
Now, your private schools appear to be your better schools, or should I say select. Okay, Scotlandville has been relatively strong here lately, and Catholic High and U High, and you know, Coach Bourgeois over at Episcopal, and Madison Prep has came up on the scene. But when I say football was better on any given night, you mentioned earlier Jared Soule, the Baker Buffaloes.
They're incredible.
You go in the Baker, you better have it strapped on.
Sammy Williams was a great one. They had all kinds of, I mean, you go way back, they had, Coach, they probably had, 200 Division I players in 15 years?
Yes. And you look in the area, of course, you had your Ascension Parish teams, which have always been consistent.
Right.
Denham Springs with the Glass Kid.
Right.
So 20 years ago, I feel football was better. Now, we might have more dynamic, high-scoring teams that may look better as individual teams. But as far as football in Baton Rouge, I'm going to stick that, and of course, there was no split.
Yeah.
The split is terrible, and there was no split. And so if you were going to get there, if you were going to get to that Superdome, you had to go through the gauntlet, five weeks of football.
Yeah.
Now, there's some that double byes and you win two and you're in the dome. And
yeah.
So I think by and large, players are bigger, faster, stronger. Maybe it's actually more fun to watch the new era football game itself. But football was better when everyone, when most everyone was relevant.
Yeah, everybody had talent.
Yeah, I mean, you go Roman Bates, Capital High School.
Yeah, they were great.
Took them to the Superdome.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a great concern for football, the sport. I have a great concern for our East Baton Rouge Parish schools in particular, or even some smaller rural schools, of surviving the deal.
Stroom was another one.
Oh, how did I not mention the Indians?
I mean, you know, go to Billy Cannon, to all the great players, right. Coach Bozeman, and, you know, all the great players they had up and through the 90s.
Well, if you look, let's go back, and I feel terrible I can't call the coach. I mean, this is terrible. But
speaking of Lehigh, Reggie Tarver was a phenomenal player. And they had great teams during the 90s, late 90s.
Yes. Well, if you take going back to Estruma, in that 2004 year I referenced, in district, we had three teams in that 4A district that were top-notch. We were one of them at Redempt, Estruma, and EA. And that particular year, EA had Glenn Dorsey. The quarterback from Estruma, I can't call his name, but he was a stud.
He was a big guy. Big
yes. Yeah. Well, that year, in district, EA beat us. Estruma beat EA, and we beat Estruma for a three-way tie for the district title. We were ranked, these three teams in the same district were ranked in the top four in the state. We ended up, Bel-Air beat us in that second. I mean, we beat Bel-Air in the second round. The third round, we had a rematch with EA and Glenn Dorsey, mm-hmm. Buzzy Idell. They had a kid, Nelson, I think.
Sean Nelson.
Played for the Buffalo Bills.
That's right.
And we beat them in the rematch in the quarters. And long story short, that was in one district.
Coach, I mentioned this the other day, and people looked at me like I was dumb. The younger listeners and people, but I said, the greatest defensive tackle that I've ever seen put on a uniform in a high school game was Glenn Dorsey.
Right.
And I remember going to your game at Redemptorist, watching Glenn play O&D line.
Right.
And he played like it was the end of football every play.
Yes.
And it was a different level of commitment.
Yeah.
And people say, well, what about this D-tackle coming out, that D-tackle? Yeah. I said, well, they might be bigger than Glenn.
Yes.
But they're not as tough. And they didn't bring it like he did. I don't see that anymore in recruiting.
No.
I see more kids that look the part, Coach, but not necessarily as good knowing football.
Yes. The best way I could describe Glenn was he was a problem. And most D tackles cannot dominate a game. They can dominate a side of the line of scrimmage or the guy in front of them, and you can game plan against them.
Right.
Glenn was a problem. He dominated the whole front.
Right.
They beat a 7-6 on a Buzzy Hydell to Sean Nelson touchdown pass. In the next game, we beat them 14-10. And we were a high-scoring offense for a team that didn't really throw the ball.
Right, right.
And but Glenn Dorsey was a force. And I haven't seen one like him. I haven't ran up across another one like that.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the interview with Coach Edwards. You're listening to the Sports Gallon Report podcast with Lee Burkeen.
If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, go see Medine's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Your Baton Rouge Accident Advisors.
Welcome back to the Sports Gallon Report podcast with Lee Burkeen. We'll have one more segment with Coach Edwards, as Lee Burkeen went to visit his old high school, really for the first time. I mean, he's been to a couple of games, of course, with Central High School, but it's been about 20 years since he actually toured the school, and he got to see a lot of improvements and renovations since that time. But he got a chance also to talk to Coach Edwards about this year's team. He also told some stories about his years in the coaching profession. We also want to give a shout-out to Miss Ashley Rush, the athletic director at Central High School, who's allowed the Lee to interview not only Coach Edwards, but also Coach Leo McClure as well. We could not do it without her, so we appreciate Miss Rush for allowing us to do these interviews and conduct these interviews for y'all. But, yep, this is the last part of the interview. Lee Burkeen with Coach Sid Edwards.
The nearest one I've seen was kind of in that era was Kyle Williams.
Yes.
At Ruston.
Right.
6'1", 280, yeah. You know.
Oh, yeah.
You see a lot of guys 6'5", now 6'6". They do these combine tests. They run 4.6, yeah. But.
Yes.
It's just.
You can play. Put it this way. I don't know what Glenn's combine numbers right. would have been, right. but he just was a player. And we game planned against him, and it was real simple. We walked up to the line of scrimmage, and if he lined up on the right,
you went to the
we
left.
Went to the left, no matter what the play
and
call.
He still got to the left.
And he still got to the left.
And you had some great running backs, David Plaisance.
Yeah.
You know, y'all had Jay Lucas. Jay Lucas and Shelton yeah. Sampson. And,
yes.
I mean, it was just on and on and on. Jeremy Hill later on that came yeah. through there. But
that's it.
I mean, y'all had some great runners that just had trouble running against guys like that.
Yes. I mean, and we were good up front. We were big up front. A yeah. very talented offensive line. Yeah. And here again, this guy, he changed the game.
I remember Glenn Oaks having Randall quarterback and Gabe Northern at tight end.
Yes.
And they beat Neville at yes. home in a playoff game. And Neville was just a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. Like you said, that was a different,
yes,
different
that,
time.
That was good football, and not only, you know, some of your teams that struggle to get a dozen fans in the stadium. I mean, you go to those games, the Glen Oaks games, and they would fill up half the side of Memorial Stadium. And it wasn't that long ago. We're not talking Newt Rockne. I mean, it wasn't that long ago.
It can be done, but there was one instance where Coach Lejeune went to East Iberville.
Right.
And almost took them to the Superdome twice with the two semifinal games.
That's right. And that's who was the coach at Bel Air.
At Bel Air.
When yeah. we played them in Memorial.
Yeah. And so you can do it, but it's so hard.
It is. It ends up, so much comes down to the commitment of the district, that administration, and that each individual head coach and his staff a commitment, and they're allowed to do their job. An example is Marcus Randall at Woodlawn right now. The best team a lot of people don't know about right now. I mean, yeah. they're 1-2, but they played a tremendous three-game mm-hmm. schedule. But Marcus at Woodlawn, you know, stay tuned on them. But he went in there, and there's a commitment, and they got a great AD, great principal, and they're going to do some good things.
Yeah, they played U-High and West Monroe.
Right.
3 week span. That's
pretty salty.
That's pretty salty. Went to West Monroe, I believe.
Right, right.
And then played U-High at U-High. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think it can be done, but there's just got to be a commitment. I do know that the interest in football is waning, and part of it is we're living in a society now, the trophy for everybody society. I go back to the split here with high school kids. But I get on social media and see six-year-olds with third-place rings in baseball tournaments.
Mm.
And it's where sports is going. And here again, football is an outlier in that the toughest sport to play is football.
Yeah.
And a lot of kids will not sign up for it anymore. They got too many other options.
It's the toughest learning in life sport.
Yes.
It teaches yeah. you. To get through toughness, that toughness you develop in football, me playing, I wouldn't go play in NFL or college.
Right.
But to this day, Coach, playing football here
right.
Taught me if I can get through 2-a-days and I can get through weightlifting and I can get through this and that,
yes.
everything else is gravy.
That's right. That's right. And that's my worry about the game is just where society is athletically and you know, people are looking for the easy, and here again, the trophy for everybody generation, the rings these kids are getting, and here again, football's tough. I tell them all the time, I'm not chopping on baseball, you know, I'm not saying it, but,
right.
you know, you get in the summer, and a kid has a choice out of getting in that weight room at 7 o'clock in the morning and occasionally vomiting, and or going out and spitting some sunflower seeds and taking some
right.
cuts in the cage, a lot of them choose the latter. And It's just what it is.
Yeah, there's no air conditioning in football.
That, there is no AC.
Even the weight room, like you said, yeah. It's not going to be
that's right.
Put at 70 degrees in the weight room.
That's right. And I think I do believe that the game could be saved, and it's almost would be worth to having a round table with all the coaches in the city, because, you know, what is a coach? There are some great coaches. Byron Wade, currently at Bel Air.
He's doing a good job.
He is a good coach. Asani Holland over at Tara is doing a tremendous job. Vernon Langley at Broadmoor is a track guy by trade, but they kind of lost their coach and something happened. And I respect Vernon Langley. He was already there, and he said, you know what, I'm going to take those boys. I'm going to do it. Keep an eye on Glen Oaks. Ex-football coach Robert Signator is the principal now, and Coach Beecham's over there, and they're doing some beautiful things. If you go see their campus, they've made a commitment to facilities. So there's good men there. They just need better resources.
Yeah. And Coach, I'm seeing this all over the state.
Yes.
And I'm like you. I don't want football to become flag football one day.
Right. That's right. Yeah. I agree.
The game will be lost and gone if you're pulling a scarf off of somebody.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going if we keep getting soft in this. Like you said, we got to.
No doubt. And no doubt. And hats off to the people who are winning, because at the end of the day, it's about the Jims and Joes.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. So, I mean, if you switch coaches, let's say we played a switch for 1 year, okay, I promise you that, you know, Hassani over at Tara can go to one of the, say, top three programs in the state and find himself in the Superdome.
Yeah.
And that's not a chop, because coaching makes a difference.
Right.
But there's good men that to the victor goes to spoils, and people don't see.
Yeah, the coach has the card he's dealt and what he has.
That's it.
You know, he has what he has, and he's trying to get in the playoffs with 20 kids or 25 kids.
There's no doubt about it.
I always tell people it's a lot easier to win a game when there's 80 kids against 20.
Yes, there's no doubt. No doubt. And but, yeah, so I hope for the sake of football, I hope, you know, you'll notice there's not a lot of staying power anymore for a coach. I mean, the days of Dale Weiner and Kenny Guyot and Roman Bates and guys like that are at the same school
30,
for
40
all time
years,
will not happen again.
Yeah, and people don't realize that coaches teach.
Yes.
It's not just practice. It's not game day. It's all day till 8, 9 at night. It's year-round. It's a college schedule for high school pay.
That's it. People, it's the same deal for me to do this interview, which I had to get someone to cover my lunch duty.
Right.
So we're an educational institution first, and they are 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids. They're entering young adulthood, and they've got a full schedule, especially here in Central. We are still somewhat a rural community, even though a few businesses have popped up.
Right.
Our kids work. So our kids, a lot of our kids come to school. They, yesterday I ran them a little longer than I usually do because of a couple of personal fouls in the game Friday night. And one man grabbed me and said, Coach, I got to get to work. So you talking showing up at school at 6:30, practicing. And our practices are pretty intense. Grabbing a quick shower and going to work the night shift somewhere. You know, so that's when at the high school model, that's what people need to see. It's not football 24/7.
Sid, final question. I know that when you were at Redemptors, before people knew you as football, they knew you as a great basketball coach.
Yeah.
You did great and won championships in basketball at Redemptors and then football also. But your passion for sports is everything. It's not just football. Yeah. And how did the basketball become such a great tie for you early on?
Well, before I was degreed, I was coaching whatever I could coach. I coached girls softball. I coached track. I coached baseball. I coached basketball, football. And I just like being with kids. And I started up an AAU program here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana Breeze. And it kind of grew. it grew. And I mean, here again, you know, you're talking about great coaches, man. I had great players. Actually, there are over, I think the alumni of Louisiana Breeze was over 35 to 40 that played college. Man. And I'm talking, you know, at LSU and at North Carolina State and Tulane and UConn, UNLV. So we had great players. Of course, we're playing against other great players. And I fell in love with it. This year I was the head basketball coach at Central last year. I filled in again. It was my second time to do that. And I don't know which one I like better, to tell you the truth. Big joke, and I got this quote from some old coach, was football's my wife, basketball's my girlfriend. And but I could see myself doing basketball again one day, because it's just an exciting sport. And I love it. I got to spend 1 year at Nicholls State with Ricky Broussard, and I learned so much. And then I cut my teeth under Glenn Rando at Catholic. And then, of course, you got to know where I went to school, Redemptorist High School. Where you start talking about Rick Huckabee and Gary Dewey and the great Redemptorist teams.
I got to ask you this, and this is just for fun. The greatest basketball player that you saw play at Redemptorist out of Derek Taylor, Tom Curry, Howard High, C. Carter. We can go on and on and on. There was a bunch of them, but my favorite one was Howard High, C. Carter.
Your favorite one?
That was my – and I like Derek Taylor.
Your favorite one, Lee, would be the best one to ever come out of Redemptorist High School, and that is Howard High, C. Carter. And here's a stat. I coached his sister, Katora, in softball many years ago. And her daughter is a senior volleyball player here at Central.
No kidding. So this has kind of come around.
As a college prospect.
Wow.
Yeah, Katora played at South Alabama, his sister, and her daughter's here. And there were some great players come out of Redempt. I graduated with Derek, who I thought was phenomenal. But Howard was the best to ever come out of that school.
How tall is his granddaughter? How tall is
she? Doesn't have Howard's. It's his niece. She's yeah. I think she's pushing 5'10", 5'11".
Because Howard's 6'5".
6'5". Yeah. And his sister Katora is about 6'2". You know, 6'1", 6'2".
She's pretty good, huh?
Yeah. Katora teaches at Tanglewood Elementary here in the school system.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she's a senior this year, or going to be?
Yeah, the daughter, yeah, is a senior this year.
That's amazing that you graduated from Redemptorist and was around that, and then now she's here. That's pretty interesting.
Very interesting. Like I said, her mother was a phenomenal softball player. I coached her. I got a picture I'll show you when we get done interviewing. Someone sent me. But the year she played for me was 1982.
Wow.
So that will tell you, I graduated high school in 1981.
Okay.
And I was the head softball coach.
Okay.
And Katora played first base. And like I said, her daughter here, now her daughter's a senior. And
I'll never forget that the late AD and former LSU basketball player at LSU would say, string music.
Dean. Yes.
And it
Joe
was,
Dean.
No, it just stuck with me. Probably a lot of people in the 80s.
Yeah.
But when Howard High C. Carter was in the corner,
you
knew 99.9% of the time it was going in, and you would hear string music.
Yes, those are some fond memories. You know, and basketball was so good back then. I can remember having a benefit game in the Assembly Center, Capital versus Redempt. And Capital, you may remember this name, Tyrone Black.
Oh, my goodness. Now he's running the Boy Scouts of America.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tyrone first.
He was about 6'6", 6'5".
Yes, he was a player. Both played at LSU. They played together. And Tyrone was special as well.
Speaking of Capital, they even had Brandon Bass come out of there. So, I mean, it's, again, the 80s was a special time. I was a graduate of 89.
Yeah.
And that was a special time to take in all the sports programs. I want to mention this. When I was in high school, I started getting into recruiting. My dad was a youth league coach.
Yeah.
And I would listen to the radio. I didn't even have my driver's license. And I kept up one recruit. Now, he never made it big time in college or the pros, but Fess Irvin.
Oh, Fess.
But when Fess was in Gonzales, and yeah. I think it's Sanamon, right? East Ascension. He was averaging 50 points a game.
Yes.
He was like the Pistol Pete for me growing up.
Yeah, Fess was remarkable.
Had ton. I don't know how many games he had under 40. Well, not right. not many, but he had a bunch over 50 points.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just the talk of Baton Rouge. Remember that?
Oh, Fess I remember? Yes.
I know he signed with LSU and Dale yeah. Brown. It just didn't work out. But.
Yeah, Fess was special, man. He could fill it up. He reminded me most of Chris Jackson.
Yeah.
Who played at LSU. Chris came out of Mississippi, Gulfport. But Fess and Chris were very similar.
Yeah, that was a lot of talent. Leonard Mitchell.
Yeah.
Greg Cookie Man Cook.
Yes.
Speaking of the LSU team, Dwayne Scales.
I remember the astronaut.
Ethan Martin.
Yes.
Speaking of Lehigh, the old Lehigh, yeah. Ethan Martin was, I still think, the best point guard to ever play at LSU.
I agree. What I loved about him, that era, they all fit.
Yeah.
That was a great fit. And Rudy Macklin, you know, Holtberg.
That 81 team had chemistry, didn't it?
Yes. Yes. And it was just, they were just fun.
Yeah. We'll see that again, possibly. Will Wade's come close a couple yeah. times. I'm glad they're naming the court after Dale Brown.
Me too. That is so deserving. And Dale just, what a stellar man. And I was blessed. He took time to meet with me. It's been about 6 years ago. And actually, I mean, I didn't know him personally, but he called me and said he'd like to talk to me.
Huh. And that's how Dale is.
Yeah, and it was more of just like you and I are talking right now. And yeah. But yeah, that is very deserving, and I'm glad that happened for him.
Yeah, I am too. He's in his 80s, and he acts like he's in his 50s.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
He's a great man.
Yes.
Coach, any final thoughts before we finish? Anything you want to mention?
No, I've enjoyed talking to you today. I, you know, you do a great job. It blows me away your knowledge of the high school scene. Like, I could come up and say something like, yeah, there's a guard at North DeSoto that's a sophomore, and Libra King knows who this is. And it blows me away, you know. But yeah. We appreciate y'all having an interest in us and taking time.
Appreciate being here, Coach. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We're going to take a break. This is our last commercial break of this show. When we come back, myself and Lee will break down the high school schedule for week 6 of the high school season. And also, we'll break down some of the big games in college football this weekend. And it all starts with LSU and Kentucky. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Burkine.
Be sure to take your car and truck for all your tire needs to Treads and Care Tire Company located in Central. The number to call is 331-8144. Family owned and operated since 1971. That's Treads and Care Tire Company. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkine. Your host, our co-host is Jace Lejeune. Jace, high school football. I'm going to take a break where we can get a couple of breaks in, so we'll mm-hmm. do maybe 3 minutes and then do three more on high school.
Yeah, we can do a couple high school games, want your opinion on, and maybe a couple college games yeah. I want your opinion on.
Let's start North Louisiana.
Sure.
Tell everybody about Shreveport, some good matchups in Shreveport we can talk about in Shreveport, Louisiana, or Shreveport-Bossier.
Well, it all starts on Thursday. We talk about CE Birds. I actually got to throw this out, Lee. Natchitoches Central beat Bird last week, and Natchitoches Central is undefeated currently. The Chiefs. They're having one of their best seasons in quite a while, so I got to throw that one out.
Don Shaw said it was the biggest sleeping giant school in North Louisiana.
Yeah, I think they finally waking up, Lee.
And I'm going to tell you something, Jace. Every time I see them on film every year, even when they're not a good team, they are huge, and they got very good athletes.
Yep.
And you know, they just need a breakthrough, right?
Yep.
So not shocked because they play everybody tough.
Mm-hmm.
And Bird's a young talent team with the Lambert kid at quarterback.
Right.
He's only a junior.
Ramsey at running back.
Ramsey.
Yep.
Mitchell Ramsey can fly.
Yeah, he can.
And
he
you
can.
Got Daniel Pons, who's back as mm-hmm. a receiver from quarterback.
Right.
You got a lot of young. Bird's just real young.
Yeah.
And then you have.
And they're playing Parkway on Thursday. So CE Bird plays Parkway.
And that's going to be a tough game because Parkway's got a lot of young talent.
Yep.
I'll watch them on film, and, man, they're super loaded. They play like 40 guys in their rotation. and they play a bunch of guys on defense, offense, and they're getting better.
And another game throughout in North Louisiana and Shreveport area, Benton. Benton's a tough football team, and they got Captain Shreve. And Captain Shreve has – they're one of the most athletic teams in the Shreveport area.
Well, Jace, Captain Shreve's one of the most talented teams I've seen on film outside of Catholic High and Ruston and Acadiana on the private school side. Shreve is the most talented I've seen him in a long – ever, to me. Now, I wasn't around in the 70s and 60s.
Sure.
But prior to, like, you know, 96 – this is the most talented team I've seen with Captain Shreve. They're huge. They're athletic. Man, I look at their roster and I watch Captain Shreve play twice this year. They got about 30 kids on their 90-man roster, 100-man roster that can play college football. That's a lot of of talent coming up.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent coming up at Captain Shreve. And, you know, Ben's a tough football team, Shreve. So those are two playoff teams in 5A that can make a run at it.
Benton's got a great senior group.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, RJ, their punter kicker, is a great senior prospect. They got a couple of O-linemen.
That's Coach Moore's son, too, right?
Yeah,
RJ.
Reynolds Moore. Ole Miss fan, man. Yeah. He started in Alexandria when he got into coaching and did a good job at Bolton, I believe, when we started here.
Yep.
But, yeah, Benton is very senior-laden, so that's a tough team to beat.
How about 1A, Homer and Calvary Baptist? Those are two of the top 1A programs
I'm going to tell you, Homer's probably one of their toughest district games.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Richie Causey does a great job, the former Louisiana Tech receiver who went to Homer.
Yep.
And they're very talented. They're not big. They're kind of like Kentwood to me for North Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're just super fast, and they're hard to scout. And Calvary, you know, Landry Liddy, their quarterback's talented.
Liam Pastor in the state right now.
Yeah, and they got a ton of young talent. You know, people think, well, Calvary's just going through. No. Calvary's set for a few years of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, Calvary. And they always play tough teams at the beginning, like 5A, 4A teams.
They got a young receiver named Hermes.
Yep.
Who's only a sophomore, I believe, a junior. He's 6'3", about 190. He's going to
be the next good one.
The next best.
Right.
Yeah.
And talk about teams that you love in the Shreveport area. North DeSoto, that was your team.
Oh, man, I love them.
Yep, and they're playing Minden. So Minden's a tough football team.
And Minden's great. You know, Spencer Hurd does such a great job. He's always knocking on the door in the playoffs. He's got a – you know, I was always promoting his players, actually his DB with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah,
is really good.
Sneed. Yep.
Sneed. And I told – you know, I was like, hey, man, this guy's LSU star good, and he was. He went to Tech, and now he's a great star in the NFL. But – Minden's got some phenomenal players, and they just got to put it together when they play in the playoffs and just break that fence down, as they say, win that second playoff game.
Yeah, just get over the hump.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll give you one more in the Shreveport area. Houghton and Airline play on Friday.
Oh, man, I tell you, Houghton does a great job. Jason Brotherson does a great job. Airline is very talented. Bo Meeks has really overcome a lot of health problems. He's doing good now, I hear, and they are very talented as well. Airline's young but very talented.
Mm-hmm.
They have a new quarterback at Airline that's very good.
Okay.
And their defensive backfield, Jabrovit Kelly.
Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm.
And Airline's a team getting better as the season is going on. I watched them earlier this year.
Okay, and then you want to go to another area, like let's say Monroe?
Yeah, Monroe, and then we'll kind of end it there. Every week we'll kind of switch it up to some other cities.
Well, the headliner of North Louisiana in terms of Monroe is West Monroe. They're coming off a loss against Neville 28-7. I believe, I was shocked to hear this, but I think that was Neville's first win against West Monroe since like the 90s, like the mid-90s. Now it doesn't get any easier because the next week they got Alexandria, and Alexandria was the team that defeated West Monroe last year in the playoffs.
I saw Alexandria this summer, as you know. I went to Hanville and watched them, and they're not any different than they were last year. Their quarterback is Bornelaw's coming along. They got really great players. They're tough, man. Bachman has instilled a toughness to that program, Jace. They have an edge to them now that – They play like a Catholic High, Acadiana, like a Western Row. It's a fight when you play Alexandria that now, and I tell you, it's going to be a great game, them and Western Row again.
Well, this isn't North Louisiana, but I just have to throw this out because it's a rivalry every single year, and it's very, you know, with both these teams, but Lutcher and St. James are playing on Friday. You know that's a battle of
close
two
the two
teams.
Towns down now.
Yep.
That the only thing, the Crickets are going to be the only things walking around in those two towns.
Yep.
St. James and Lutcher, all those kids know each other. All yep. those parents know each other. All those teachers know each other. Some live in the opposite towns of where they coach. They, you know, St. James people might live in Lutcher. Lutcher people might live in St. James. I'm talking about facility, mm-hmm. people yep. working at the school. So throw the records out.
Yeah.
And you got a talented quarterback at Lutcher.
Yeah, yeah. When he's only going to be a sophomore
yeah,
junior, right?
Big-time player. Yeah. Lutcher's young and getting better. And St. James, I still think, has one of the best defenses in the state.
Yeah, they just had to face a buzzsaw last week in Endicar.
Oh, so. Well, I mean, Endicar will make anybody look mm-hmm. average.
How about this game? Because it's heated between both these teams. Both these two teams do not like each other, and I really believe the coaches don't like each other, and that's Sterlington and Union Parish.
Well, you know, Union Parish's head coach is the best strength coach in high school football mm-hmm. in Louisiana.
You can tell, yep.
And when their team hits the field, they look like a bunch of Arnold Schwarzeneggers.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm being serious. Like, their whole team looks like they bench 400 pounds.
Yeah. And there's no question what they want to do.
Yeah. And so when you play Union Parish, you better bring, like I said, mm-hmm. the metal to the pedal.
Mm-hmm.
And that little Holly running back
yep.
is phenomenal. And their O-line, Jace, the O-line for Union Parish, they're Union Parish. Their offensive line looks like ULLs, okay?
Yeah.
They mm-hmm. look like college 500-pound bench press O-line, and they don't look like 16-year-olds.
They want to play smash-mouth yeah. football.
They're like, what's a pass? We don't know what a yeah. pass is.
We never heard of it.
If they throw it, it's by an accident. And I really admire what they do at Union Parish because you know what they're going to do. And it's yep. like, can you stop it? And guess what? Sterlington is like their twin. Like, we're going to line the running back 18 yards behind the quarterback, and you know what we're going to do too. So that game will end in probably 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Because there's not going to be any timeouts. There's not going to be any throws to stop the clock. This might be like a 10-0 game, 7-3, 14-0.
Yeah, whoever has the yeah. ball more, whoever controls the ball is probably
yeah.
going to win.
Yeah.
So, I'll just throw out, well, I guess, like three more games that just stick out, yeah. you know, throughout the state. But Westlake is undefeated right now in Lake Charles area.
Kudos to them because they're not a deep team on players. Mm-hmm. But the coach has really done a good job at Westlake.
Yeah, he's just coming off a game last week where he faced off his former team in Welsh.
Yeah.
And they beat Welsh. So yeah. I knew that game meant a little bit more to him.
Yeah.
But we're going to prove how good Westlake is this week because they have Lake Charles Prep. And Lake Charles Prep's 2-3 right now, but don't be deceived by their record.
Yeah. Well, you know, Citizen's a great back. He reminds me a lot of Ollie Broussard from Acadiana LSU.
Mm-hmm.
They lost a lot of talent, Jace, Lake Charles Prep. They lost
yeah, a lot of skill talent.
Three receivers signed yep. college scholarships. Three.
Yep.
And they're very young. They're talented, as we know, again, but they're mm-hmm. not as experienced as they were last year.
Another one to throw out. This is Saturday, the only Saturday game going on. Actually, there's a couple Saturday games, but the headline Saturday game is Endicar and Warren Easton. That's
throw the records out yep, on that one.
Right, right.
Speaking of who knows everybody.
they do, for
the
sure.
The head coach at Warren Easton went to Endicar.
Mm-hmm.
The whole staff almost at Warren Easton went to Endicar.
Yep.
Endicar has their number in all the state title games, so Warren Easton's always ready
They've
to
been
play
close.
Endicar.
They've been close.
They're going to play that like a Super Bowl.
Yep, definitely, definitely. Yeah, like you said.
And we got St. Aug playing a brother.
Yeah,
brother
St. Jesuit, right? Jesuits. St. Aug plays Jesuit, and then Brother Martin plays Rummel. That Catholic League starts.
It just everybody's like eliminating everybody in that one. I mean, no one's weak in that conference.
It's like the SEC West. That's what goodness. It is.
Look, St. Aug Jesuit's going to be the game of the week. Nothing against Endicar Warren Easton. I'm talking about like the heavyweights.
Mm-hmm.
Jesuit's very good.
Yeah.
And Ryan Manali has brought the edge to Jesuit that
he was the perfect hire.
That Bachman brought to Alexandria.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Jesuit's always had talent.
Yep.
But now they got a little edge to them.
Yeah, and they got a quarterback. They got himself
I'll
a good quarterback.
Jack Levier is incredible quarterback. You know, I told you over the summer we got to mm-hmm. get him on the cover.
Yeah.
Regardless if he's ranked, he wasn't a big star guy. He'll be a 4-star in the end. You know how that thing
yeah,
works.
Yeah, he'll sign with a D1 at the end.
And then they'll give him the stars. But yep. He's 6'3", 220, runs a 4.
He can run.
5 on the field.
Yeah, he can run.
And his game last week, he's starting to blossom. He's starting to come in his own.
Yeah. And then those are just some of the scores, some of the games to keep an
look,
eye out for.
Jesuit's got 7 or 8 seniors this year that are very good, led by Dennis Darty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dennis is a great Mike linebacker. They got a junior linebacker that's really good. They got a great senior and junior receiver.
Yeah.
And their offensive line is huge.
Mm-hmm. They've always had a pretty big – they've always been pretty big up front on both sides.
If Jesuit can get the running game to where they want it, they're going to be in a state title game. I'm saying it right now. I didn't say they're going to win it. But if they can get the 2 or 3 guys – and Manali likes to rotate a lot of running backs.
Yeah.
But if he can find those 2 mm-hmm. – and I saw they played a freshman last week, Jace. It's about 6'1", 180 that's going to be a stud.
Yeah.
And Ryan Manali's not scared of playing younger players.
No, he's not.
If this kid –
if he can play, he'll play.
This kid's changed their running game.
Yep. This can, and watch out for them. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what side they'll be on Division I playoff bracket, because if they are on opposite sides with Catholic High, that could be a state championship game.
Yeah, what's kept Jesuit from a state title game the last 3 years and losing to Curtis a lot is being able to run on Curtis and being able to throw the ball and be balanced.
Because they did end up playing Curtis. Like, it was just the luck of the draw. It just had to.
Jesuit's defense is in the top 4 in the state. In my opinion, top 4 that I've seen.
Wow, that's insane. That's insane.
St. Aug would be top 5, too. And think of this, Zachary beat St. Aug.
Yeah, they did.
So what does that say about Zachary? That's not just Holstein, the quarterback.
Yeah.
But St. Aug is, this is the best St. Aug team I've seen in like 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, they're tough,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are really good. That will be a really good game to watch, for sure. So that's a game to keep your eye on for. And New Orleans always is loaded with a lot of really good games, but
yeah
they got some really good ones this week.
They always have a lot on Saturday because of the lack of fields.
Yeah,
And so they're always, you always have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday lineup. It's always been that way since I got in it in the '90s, early '90s. It's probably been that way forever, but
yeah.
If you want to watch high school football, you got to choose that or college on Saturday.
Well, if LSU is losing games like they are, I mean, you're going to have to find something else to watch.
I have a feeling the Blue Jays will have some extra tickets sold on Saturday, right?
Yeah, those fans show up. Those fans definitely show up, and they want to support their team.
They'll watch the college teams on their phone.
Yeah, that's technology now. Just pull up your phone. You can watch all the college games.
All right, real final thoughts. The Cardinals lost to the Dodgers in a win-take-all. The Yankees lost in their winner-take-all to the Red Sox. I want the Giants to win it all, Jace, because of Gausman. Nothing else, because Gausman went to LSU. Nothing really else.
Yeah, right.
I have no ties to the Giants at all.
Mm-hmm.
Except Barry Bonds played there and a few other great ones. But
Just
because Gausman, I want him to win the Cy Young when it's said and done. The Dodgers and now the Giants will play to advance, which is a shame because they each won over 100 games.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see who wins that with Tampa Bay in it. And the White Sox play the Astros.
Yeah, Ash can't count them out. Yep.
And so it's going to be tough. And then college basketball is kicking off. Practice started for LSU and all the state colleges.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Will Wade has another talented team.
Yep, Kim Mulkey opened up her practice
for
LSU. Kim
Mulkey has already got 5 All-American transfers that are on the team.
Yeah, they're ready to roll
they're
already.
They're ready to go. So it's got a lot of exciting stuff. LSU baseball's around the corner.
Yep.
They're loaded with transfers and everybody back. I mean –
Yep.
Coach Johnson's going to have a great team this year with LSU baseball.
Yeah, he will. You know, they have a really – and he's brought a lot of guys from his Arizona days.
We don't have time for pro football talk today, so we're running out of time here.
Nope. And, it's going to be a loaded college football weekend too, like it always is. There's a lot of top 10 matchups and games to look forward to this weekend too.
This is what's going to be interesting. So everybody who was on the Kiffin train and the Coach Arkansas train.
They're playing each other.
Right. So somebody's going to have 2 losses.
Yeah.
And the train and the talk will just get real quiet. And if Kiffin loses this, then his name won't be mentioned as a college coach for other programs.
I think Arkansas beats them. I really do.
I do too.
I think Arkansas was expecting a loss to Georgia. I really thought Ole Miss really thought they would beat Alabama.
I'm going to say this right now. Georgia has the best defense in the United States.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Used to be like, oh, Alabama.
Yep.
And then everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia has no quarterback, and they're beating people 40 by 40 points.
Watching Georgia play was like watching LSU play 10 years ago. Like 10, 15 years ago, when they're deep, that 2011 team, it was like that.
Jace, let this sink in. Georgia plays the hottest team in the country in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was at home.
Yep.
They took their soul away from them and beat them.
It wasn't
And guess
close.
What? They had a walk-on quarterback at Georgia. They don't even have JT Daniels hadn't played. He ain't going to play this week.
They don't need him.
No, that's how good of a defense they have. You cannot run or throw on them, and it's they're getting better. And I got to say this, my opinion of Georgia is changing a little bit, because if Alabama still runs it out and
Georgia twice.
Georgia could win it all this year. They really could, because nobody has a defense like them this year. No one.
I think they'll play twice. I think it'll actually be 1-1. They'll play each other in the SEC championship game, and they'll play each other in the national championship game.
You know what's scary? Pickens comes back from his injury in about 2 weeks from the whole offseason. Their number one receiver is finally going to play in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
they get him back. And
wait till Daniels comes back.
Yeah, well, they get all their guys that hadn't played all year. They had five of them. I'm not even talking about Eric Gilbert.
Yeah, right.
I'm talking about they had five of their top 20 not play yet. Now, isn't that a coincidence? Five of your best players don't play, and you're still dominating. That, to me, is coaching.
Yep, right. And you know Georgia was able to recruit, but it's really showing up now with the talent that they have. And they're developing them, you know. Just like that's always been the question about Georgia, but it seems like the development's been
working out. And guess what?
Out.
The cocktail game is in a week, and watch me eat my words. Watch Florida beat them in the Jacksonville game in about.
Well,
a week.
Georgia's got Auburn this week, so let's see if Bo Nix can pull out the magic
won't
again.
Won't happen.
Now I don't see it happening. Georgia, defense is too good.
Georgia will box him in.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be running in a circle around nine players. That's what LSU. They don't have that. They just don't.
Yeah, and those defensive linemen, they're 330 pounds and run like they're 250 pounds.
And they play the run.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, LSU's got a bunch of pass rushers. They don't have a good run-stopping defensive line. It's a one-arsenal deal.
And one more game to throw out to you for college-wise, because there's two top-five teams going at it, and that's Penn State and Iowa, if you have any.
I am pulling for the Hawkeyes, Jace.
Yeah, I think so.
I have always pulled for Iowa. Mm-hmm. Back to Hayden Fry.
Okay. That's going back.
If LSU wasn't playing him when Saban lost his last game, I was going to pull for him then.
Yep.
Iowa is the toughest blue-collar team
in
America.
Yep. It's going back 30 years ago.
I think I speak for most listeners.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want to play Iowa in a football game.
No. They've shown it all year long. I mean, it's like this is a throwback team, like 20, 30 years
ago. But you want them to finish finally. Like, they're always in the top five, and they go 5-0, 6-0.
Yeah, they lose a game there.
And then they end up being like 6-3.
And this was the type of game they've lost to Penn State or to an Ohio State or somebody like a Michigan State when they were rolling. So those are the games they need to go over the
hump
with.
But you know what, Jace? They can take it, because this year Wisconsin's not great. Penn State's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Auburn stuck with them. And then Ohio State's not that great.
And the jury's really still out on Michigan, how good Michigan really is.
Northwestern's not that good this year with Fitzgerald.
Michigan State's pretty good.
Yeah.
But they're not what they were.
Michigan quietly.
Yeah, Michigan. Yeah, Michigan's been pretty good this year.
They hadn't played anybody hard yet.
Yeah, that's why the jury is still really out on Michigan. Yeah.
Harbaugh scheduled that out pretty good.
Yeah, right.
But Iowa, no. I'm going to go ahead and put this out right now. I want Iowa to win the national championship. I want it for college football. I want somebody different, not just different than Alabama, but I want a team that is a team that has always been fighting to try and win it all for the last 30 years, and that's Iowa.
Yeah, I think they win. I mean, because they've proven us all year long. Like the big games, Iowa State, they put and beat the doors off Iowa State, and every game they proved how good they really are. And right now, I really think it's going to be Bama, Georgia, and Iowa and Cincinnati. Like right now,
you know,
I mean,
it's been since the late '80s, early '90s that they've been to the Rose Bowl, Iowa, with Chuck Long at quarterback. You remember?
Oh, Chuck Long? That's a name to throw out back in the day.
I mean, Hayden Fry, Chuck Long,
Yep,
and Kurt Ferentz replaced Hayden Fry. They've only had two coaches in the last 40 years.
Yeah, when you talk about Saban coaching that game, the Outback Bowl game, Kirk Ferentz was the head coach then. You know, Saban went through the NFL, LSU, NFL, and then all this through Alabama, and he was there the whole time.
You talk about a fan base that loves their coach, because Ferentz has had a lot of 8-4, 7-5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But they appreciate him, they like him, and they realize they're not a 12-0 team.
Iowa knows who they are. Yeah. You know, they're going to be a blue collar type of program. Yeah. That's going to be in the thick of things, and like every three or four years, they'll be in the thick of things, and they know who they are.
Well, they had a quarterback with the first name of Drew from Baytown Lee in that game that beat LSU in the bowl game. He was 5'11", 170. Drew Tate.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
He went to Baytown Lee High School right outside of Houston. You know where Baytown is.
Your dad went
to go to some races.
Yep, right. That's right in that alley
there. But LSU got beat by a 5'11", 170-pound quarterback.
From Baytown.
And he was a great four-year starter for them. He looked like Drew Brees.
Okay.
It just didn't, you know, happen for the NFL.
Yeah,
but
right.
But they've had a lot of Chuck Longs, Drew Tate types.
Yeah, just real good football players.
Big-time O-linemen.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They're known for their tight ends as well. A lot of first-round pick O-linemen. Yep. Offensive linemen. You look around the league, Detroit has a tight end, starring tight end in the NFL, George Kittle from the 49ers. Yeah. So they're known for their linemen and their tight ends.
And they're known for signing no-name D-linemen that go to the NFL that are just, you know, from Iowa, like Illinois.
Yep.
They get them at 6'5", 240. Now they 290.
Well, being in the Midwest, you know, there's a lot of really good linemen and a lot of tight, you know, those big, you know, form guys in the Midwest, and they take advantage of that.
Well, the Buccaneers' left tackle is from Iowa.
Yeah, Wirfs. Yeah, Wirfs
was a first-round pick from Iowa.
Yep.
I hope you enjoyed the show. We're going to go ahead and end the show. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Sid Edwards, our college talk for what it's worth, our high school football stuff. We can't get everything in, but we're trying to do so much each show for different areas. Write to us if you want us to talk about something in the future. And we're on our way. I don't want to keep saying it, but we will announce when we do our video, when we finally launch it, instead of saying this week or that week. The hurricane and everything kind of set us back a little bit on that, but we're very excited that that will happen sooner than later. But hope everybody has a great weekend and safe travels for all parents, grandparents, everybody that's on the road for these games.
Yep.
And we'll see you on Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.